In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Oh, wow. Well, it's good to be with you today. It's good to be here. See lots of familiar faces. It's about, I think, 18 months since I met a whole load of you guys at your women's retreat. It was really interesting preparing for this morning because it's actually really rare as a preacher that somebody says to you, preach on whatever you like. I mean, I'm feeling trusted, thank you. But it doesn't happen very often. Usually people give you a Bible verse or we're doing this theme or something. But they said, no, this is a moment. In between when we really get stuck into Christmas and after the thing we've just finished, you can do whatever you like. And so, of course, your mind goes straight to something. What have I already done? So, you know, what do I already know a lot about? So it's a bit less work. And I thought about loads of things, some stuff that I've been preaching on recently, some stuff that God's been speaking to me about. And then I thought, well, or maybe Advent, because I really love Advent. That sense of waiting for God to show up. Like, I feel like I spend quite a lot of my life in that place of waiting for God to show up. So Advent is I feel like I get it. But none of it really sat quite right. And I sent a few ideas to Erica and I was walking the dog and I just said, God, what is it you want to say? And out of nowhere into my head fell this verse. In fact, it was so out of nowhere that I then had to use the internet to look it up to find where it was. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. This is what God wants you to hear today. I really believe that because I kept praying about it, obviously. And I remember it. It's one of those verses that I remember it because of some kid's song that the children... do you remember that? Like, I can't find it anywhere. It's just stuck somewhere in my head. And I'm assuming it's because my children sang it over and over again at some point, or we had it on some CD in the car. We had quite a lot of those CDs, which are scripture, that the children considered to be a form of torture. And I was trying to bless them and be a good Christian parent. As it turns out, mostly what's happened is that I remember it all, they remember none of it. There you go. So it turns out that this verse... I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's from Psalm 119, which is, you'll be delighted to know, the longest chapter in the Bible with its 176 verses. And I'm not going to preach on all of it because you'd like lunch and your children's workers will eventually be crying for escape. So I'm actually just going to preach on this bit of it. I think I've turned it on. Oh, no, I haven't. Hang on. Tech, it always beats you. There we go. So what's really amazing about Psalm 119, apart from being the longest, is that it is made up of eight-verse stanzas, they call them, eight-verse sections, each of which... as every line in it starts with the same letter. And it follows the Hebrew alphabet from Aleph, Bet, all the way through. And this is the Bet section. So I don't know if you've ever written an acrostic, but probably not since year six, I imagine. I think year six is peak acrostic writing time for most people. It's any poem where you put as a kind of a formula either a word or the alphabet, and you determine what the first letters are going to be. And I've thought a lot and I've read a lot about why on earth did they try and do this? Like, it always ends up with the most odd-sounding poetry you could ever create, an acrostic. It's always a little bit forced. And most of the people I've read said, well, because they did it like this, they're saying, I'm saying everything that there is to be said. I'm saying the entire alphabet's worth of things that there are to be said. And the whole of the poem, it's got wisdom literature, you know, advice. about how to live, about how to live your best life. It's got pleading for God to show up in it. It's got longing for a Messiah. But all the way through, it has got talking about God's word. And it uses 8 different words in Hebrew to talk about God's word. But all the way through, it's talking about God's word and how important it is for us to live well. And so this stanza B, this one is about how to live well. And we know that because it starts with this line, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? That's a classic way to introduce wisdom literature or advice. Now, I just want to say, it doesn't discount all of you who are over 35. You cannot just have a little nap now. It's not just about young people. It's about wisdom for life. It's still wisdom for life if you're 80. It's still wisdom for life if you're 40. You know, it's definitely wisdom for life if you're 20. And the wisdom writers write like that because, you know, it's got this kind of picture of a parent speaking to their child, like giving you advice on how to live well when you're young and making more decisions. But it doesn't mean that it's not advice for us. So I'm going to read the whole thing to you. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. All starting with the letter B. Mad. So the first thing that I thought when I looked at this, because this is definitely the word that God was talking about, this one here, I've hidden your word in my heart. What does it mean to hide your word in my heart? And when I went to look at it, I discovered that in different translations of the Bible, they use a different word there. Now that happens when the Hebrew word doesn't map neatly onto a word in English. And that happens quite a lot because actually languages are not neat like that. There isn't an exact translation for the word that's used in Hebrew here. And so what happens is that different translations will go for the word that they think is the best. So sometimes it's really good and helpful to look something up in different translations because what it'll do is give you an idea of the spread of what that word means. Because unless you're the Amplified Bible where you use all of them but it's completely unreadable, unless you're that, then you don't necessarily get the whole spread of what a word means. So the word that used in the NIV, which is the one that I used here, is hidden. And there's something in that about the idea that you've tucked it inside, that you've tucked it away, that you've buried it. You've buried God's word in there. To me, that says something about it becoming part of the fabric and foundation of your life. So it's not something that you've just read and has slid away. It's something that you've read and has become a part of you. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now I'm trying to remember which. The NRSV uses treasure. I treasure your word in my heart. It's quite interesting to be talking about that today because today, beginning of Advent, I've been thinking about my Bible notes today were about Mary. And I always think of her, this idea that she treasured all these things. Like even, you know, when she's holding that baby and all of this stuff has happened. She's had angels, she's had shepherds, like wild. She's just given birth, wild. And it says that she treasured those things in her heart. So it means that's more than just hid, isn't it? That's like, that made me think of this little jewelry box I had when I was a child that had all my special things in it. It didn't just have jewelry, it had like weird stuff. you know, like things that tickets to a film that I'd been to, or something that had belonged to my grandma. Like, and every now and again, I'd go back to that box and take those things out and look at them again. So this word isn't just saying, hide it away somewhere. This word is saying, hide it away in a way that you go back to and you look at. And you, yeah, you know, like there's something in there about cherishing it, about looking at it again and again and again. And then the ESV uses stored up. And I think in there's something of the idea. You know, in the Bible, when they're storing stuff, mostly they're storing food. Like, mostly in Bible stories, if people are storing things, it's food, because they lived in a time where you had to store stuff because you didn't have Tesco over the road. You had to store stuff because you had a harvest of different things were harvested at different times of year, but that only happened once or maybe twice. And so if you wanted to eat in December or in January, you had to store stuff. You had to, this is a part of being able to grow and be strong in the future. This is your stability. This is a massively important part of life in Bible times, is to store stuff up. And what part of this word is saying, store stuff up in your heart for when you need it. So it's not just hide it and let it become a part of your fabric, but it is that. And it's not just take it and treasure it and let it be important to you and revisit it. It's not just that. It's about do this because you will need it. You will... Oh, hang on. Sorry. Did I hit it with my earring? Who knows? So, okay. And I thought, well, okay. So I am here to say, and this is somewhat old-fashioned, but I'm here to say you need to memorize Scripture. You need to do it. I know it's really out of fashion, because I know it's really easy, isn't it, to just pick up your phone. Like, I've got the Bible in my phone now. I don't even have to carry this one. I can just carry this one. But I've got the Bible in 8 translations in my phone. Like, so it's really easy to think, oh, okay, well, you know, it's not like it was. I don't have to learn it, because I can't have my own copy, and I don't have to learn it because I can't get access to my own copy. And so we kind of got out of the habit, but at least I know a lot of people have. I don't know you guys, so I might be preaching to people who've already memorized the whole of Scripture. If I am, feel free to preach at me later. But this is what I felt like God was saying. It's what I felt like God was saying to me, and I feel like it's God saying to you. And I need you to do it because of these things. Because we are called to know our God. And our God chooses to reveal himself through these pages. I don't believe that this is God. I don't believe in God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Bible. I believe in the Holy Spirit speaking through the Bible, but I believe it is the revelation of who God is. I believe that when God says in this over and over again that he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, and that he forgives to the thousandth generation, and that he will bring justice. This is a revelation of who the God is that we're following. And it, you know, we can get all kinds of ideas from Christian worship songs, from Christian TV shows, from Christian paperbacks, but the revelation of who the God is that we're following is in here. Yeah, and some of it is flipping difficult. You know, some of it is lovely and comforting, and some of it is hard, but it is the revelation of who God is. And so we need to read it. Yeah? Okay, you've got that part. Press the wrong button. We need to read it because, as it says in this same psalm, a little bit further along, that it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. That means it will keep you safe. I don't know if you've ever been camping and forgotten to take a torch and had to try and find your way to the toilets in the night, in the dark. Ever happened? Yeah? With all those guy ropes. It's not easy. You need a torch so you can see which way to go, and also so that you can see that you don't trip over. There's actually two things happening there. A lamp to my feet is the light that makes sure I don't trip over the guy ropes. The light to my path is the one that makes sure I go to the ladies' toilets and not the men's. Yeah? Like, these things are both important, aren't they? You know? And this is about God wanting to keep us safe. So his word is there to guide us which way to go, but also to make sure that we don't fall off the path as we go along. That's why you've got to read it. Okay. Okay. And this is why you've got to memorize it. It is because Jesus says, the person who hears my words and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house on a rock. And when the storm came, his house didn't fall because it was built on the rock. Probably slightly misquoting that, but it's along those lines. Ellie Hart version. Now, I don't know about you, but there are moments in life which are storms. Jesus never said that we were going to be airlifted out of trouble before it happened. In fact, what he said was, there is a storm coming, when he says that. There's a storm coming. And like I know that, and I would be willing to assume that you all know that too, that sooner or later a storm hits. And when the storm hits, you need to have one of these. This is a piton. It's a climber's thing. It's been banged so hard into that rock that you can clip onto it and hang there and see out the storm. And for me, that is, sometimes that is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with me. Sometimes I need that in that moment, and I need it to be there already in my head. Because in that moment, I come to this, and there is too much of it. And I don't know where to find the thing that is going to be the thing that I can clip onto and see out the storm. And the only reason I can do that is because at some point, I learned it. And there are some things which I've learned, like, because it's been on a terrible CD in my car. Like if you guys have to endure those CDs, I'm really sorry. But like there are some of those things that I have learned and I would not know. I suspect that maybe I wouldn't know this. I wouldn't have known that this is what God wanted me to speak on today if I hadn't had to listen to that song when the kids were singing it. And because the kids sang it, I've hidden your word in my heart so I might not sin against you. If they hadn't sung it, then it wouldn't have been in my head, and then God would not have been able to say, this is the thing. Yeah. You know, in the moment. My son has got a life-threatening peanut allergy. And I have spent the last, like we discovered this when he was 14 and he's now 25. So I spent the last 11 years of my life trying to persuade him to carry his EpiPen with him. Because the thing is, that if he eats a peanut, owning an EpiPen and it being in his coat at home, that's not going to help. Like, he's going to have it in his hand. Or, like, at least in his bag so he can reach for it. So you need to bang some of these in. You need to just go home and you need to just go and bang some of these things in. And like, you know, your leaders will tell you where you need to, what things you... You know, I'll give you some ideas, but I would, Psalm 23, that is like, that's a cracker when life is tough. Knowing the Lord's Prayer, so that if you're in that point where your child has just eaten a peanut, and you're on the way to the hospital to meet them, you can say, Lord, your will be done. Your kingdom come. Give me my daily bread, because it's there. Because it's just, you know, and that's there because we had to say it every day in school, but like it's not so like that anymore. So we need to hide the word of God in our hearts. Okay, so the rest of this bit of Psalm, this bit here, it gives us some clues about how we could do that. So here's one. Expect stuff. Praise be to you, God, teach me your decrees. Scary. Okay, I won't put my hands in my pockets anymore. I'll stand like this. Is that better? Okay. I move too much, but I'm sorry, I don't know how to not do that. I am trying to learn Greek. I've got a book called Teach Yourself Greek. And kind of, with the book, I can kind of teach myself. What is extraordinary about the Bible is it is not to teach yourself God. It is, praise be to you, Lord, teach me your decrees. You know, it is the only book where when you open it, God promises that he will teach you. Through his Holy Spirit, he will be your teacher. He will bring this word alive and he will teach you. Everything else, you're on your own. I can recommend CGP revision guides, but you know, everything else, you're pretty much on your own. But with the Bible, the Holy Spirit promises to teach you. So when you come to it, expect him to teach you. I think that's kind of cool. The next line, with my lips, I recount all of the laws that come from your mouth. So read it aloud. This is about revising and rehearsing, but it's also about something really beautiful. Look at the symmetry in this verse. With my lips, I recount the laws that come from your mouth. With my lips, I recount what comes from your mouth. I am imitating God as I speak out his words, as I speak out his words to myself, as I speak out his words to other people. There is something in there that I am kind of, I'm drawn into, that symmetry. I speak out the words that you speak out to me. And part of that is, you know, reading it aloud, speaking it out to each other, speaking scripture out to each other. I rejoice in following your statutes. So obviously, part of this is not just to read it, not just to memorize it, but actually to do it and to live by it. That is a challenge. I'm just going to leave you with it. And then this, which is amazing. I meditate on your precepts and I consider your ways. That we are called to chew before we swallow. I have said that to my children many times. Except for the nuts, just don't swallow them. We're called to meditate on scripture. We're called to wrestle with it. You know, it's not the highway code. It isn't easy, but it is revelation of who God is. And it calls you into conversation, into chewing, to think about it for a long time. I wrote down here something God's been speaking to me about is what it means to be a well-watered garden from Isaiah 58. And it's in the God will supply all your needs type zone. But it says that you'll be like a well-watered garden. And I've been reflecting on that and asking God, what does it mean to be a well-watered garden? And then I realized that anybody here is actually a gardener. Like, gardening takes a lot of attention, doesn't it? Like, a lot of time and a lot of attention. And if God says that I will be like a well-watered garden, then he's saying that his attention is on me. Like, because the difference between a field and a garden is the attention of a gardener. Yeah? My garden is more of a field, if I'm honest. Slightly overgrown field. But that's the difference between a field and a gardener. It's the attention of the gardener. And I've only thought of that through wrestling it, not just through reading it or just through memorizing it, but just like to going back to God and say, what do you mean to this? To chewing. Like, there is the opportunity for God to reveal more to you if you study and if you chew and if you delight. And you'll be delighted to know that that is the last slide. So, it's really easy as an outsider, because I can be really brutal, can't I? This is a call on you, every one of you, to take God's words more seriously than you already are. I expect lots of you are taking God's word really seriously already. But I feel like God is saying, I want to call you to just another step up. Just another step up from where you are. So for some of you, that might be just starting to read it. But some of you, that might be deliberately choosing to memorize some of it as storing it up, as hiding it in your heart. God wants you to do this because he wants to strengthen you with his word. He wants to comfort you with his word. He wants to restore you with his word. He wants to keep you safe, and he wants to arm you for battle with his word. Like, the most significant prophetic words that I've had spoken into my life have been ones which are based on scripture. And partly that is because if they're based on scripture, it's really hard for me to let it slip away. So if you're prophetic, memorize scripture. If you're an evangelist, the most powerful words are knowing what it says in the Bible about who God is. And being able to say, no, that's not what God's like, because I know what it says in the Bible. So if you're an evangelist, memorize bits of the Bible. Read it, speak it, obey it, chew on it, and hide it in your heart. Because we want to be people who seek the Lord with all our heart, to know him, to be able to witness to him, to be able to survive the storms, and to be able to grow into being the people that he wants us to be. And that's how you're going to do it. Well, one of the things. Okay, I'm going to pray. And you can come up, do you sing? Is that right? Oh, Lord God, thank you. Thank you that you revealed yourself to us through your word. Thank you for this incredible mixture of stories and wisdom and poetry and instruction and letters and weird apocalyptic stuff that we don't know what to do with. Thank you, Lord, that all of it is about you revealing yourself to us. And I pray that you would give us a hunger in our hearts to read it, to cherish it, to love it, and to bury it in our hearts, stored up so it's ready for when we need it. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you, in doing that, you would change our lives. That you would help us to become the people that you have always intended us to be. In your precious name. Amen.